naturligvis følte de, som jeg sa min åpningsproduksjon i dag, at denne konferansen har kommet i gang takket være Daniel Lennart-Lupanen sin inspirasjon og ikke minst sine kontakter som internasjonal utenforsker selv. Tema for neste timen de samfunnsmessige virkningene av myndighetenes avsløring av de utenomjordiske nærværende. Daniel Lennart-Lupanen vil holde sitt foredrag på engelsk, og jeg vil gjerne introdusere henne. Daniel Lennart-Lupanen is a well-known Finnish medical doctor with 3 positions and a bestseller author in 6 languages on parapsychology and ufology. She is included in Who is Who in the World 1997. She held highest medical position in her country until 1985 when she had a bad car accident in which she was warned beforehand and where an ED saved her life. She has been government of Finland's representative in the World Health Organization, medical advisor for International Red Cross in Malaysia and Indonesia. She has also been president of the Parapsychological Association of Latin, president of the Yoga Club of Latin. She speaks 7 languages and has lived or studied in 10 countries, now residing in Sweden, Norway. Welcome.
I think yesterday and today we have gotten enough information to be convinced that there is a reality in UFOs. We do have contacts with inhabitants, with intelligence from other planets and other dimensions. But to understand this contact, maybe we should think a little bit, what is the world today? How are we as human beings today? And I found some statistics which I thought was very interesting to show our position in this planet today. If you look at the figures here, number of people employed by the United Nations is 53,000, but at Disney World and Disneyland is almost the same, 50,000. Total budget of the United Nations 1995-96 was 80 billion, but Lockheed Martin, U.S. one arms manufacturer, was more, over $19 billion. UN peacekeeping expenditures in 95 were 3.6 billion, and what was world military spending the same year, $767 billion. Number of U.S. peacekeepers for every 150,000 people in the world is one. But number of people engaged in national wars, 650. If you think of these figures, you see that the world is not totally going the right direction. U.S. contribution to the U.S. budget per capita is $7, and in Norway, much more, $65. So Norway can be proud of that. But we are an oil country here, and yet gasoline is most expensive in Europe, in Norway. So where does the money go? That is a very interesting question. Number of U.S. troops serving in U.S. peacekeeping operations in 94 was 965, and number of U.S. troops serving in the international missions under U.S. command was over 86,000. Cost of Earth Summit 92 was $10 million, and cost of Paris airfare and weapons exhibition, only U.S. portions, was $12 million. This is where our world is today. Then we start thinking of the human beings. Who are we actually? Why are we here? What is the meaning of our life? If an outsider, in this case an alien, would be looking at life, they would be horrified. Not only by our looks, because we have feet, three of our little brothers, that's me. We have a little bit of hair, we have five fingers. But what are we doing with those five fingers? Admonition towards each other. If we think of what it is to be a human being, we do know, or should know, that a human being is not a body, but a mind. A human being is an electromagnetic field, an energy which only changes form and cannot ever die. Then we can maybe understand what capabilities a human being has and how we can be in contact with other dimensions. If we look at statistics, so the values, human value survey in 84, comparing different countries, US and European countries, to each other. So we can see that telepathy, clairvoyance, contact with the dead are the most common paranormal characteristics of a human being. And if you look at the statistics, you see both for Western Europe, telepathy 32%, clairvoyance 20%, contact with the dead 23%. If you look at US, the last figure is 58%, 24%, 27%. That would give you an impression that US is a more open society. But is that necessarily so? And look at Norway, 18% telepathy, 7% clairvoyance, 9% contact with the dead. Very, very low figures. Now, Norwegians cannot be that much different. But there is a basic difference between Scandinavian human beings and Americans, in my mind. We do not tell what we experience because we are so afraid of the ridicule, which in this field, the paranormalology and ufology is very, very common. And what do we human beings believe? In the 80s, there was in the Great Britain the survey done, and I thought this was kind of interesting because it shows the great percentage that adult human beings have in their beliefs of the paranormal. If we look at the statistics of ufology, so today, roughly 50% in any country, I would say, believe in UFOs. That comes from America, telling about UFOs, alien abductions, negative contact, threat our lives. This is one of the biggest secrecies in the whole world, and we have been doing it for a very, very long time. When you think of the history, so in a military manual in the U.S., it was stated that UFOs have been here at least 50,000 years. I would say that is a very tiny estimate. UFOs, the real ones, have been here as long as human beings, as long as we have been here. And if we are really free, we can call ourselves also aliens. Aliens in the universe, in this solar system, when we think of other nations, other civilizations in other planets. Already before the Second World War in Germany, there was an interesting story that two ladies got telepathically information from the Taurus constellation 68 light years from us, how to build a spaceship. And in 1922, that was already built. And in the 30s and in the 40s, Germany had absolutely spaceships that none of us could distinguish from the real alien spacecraft. And if you think how they were built, so they look like what we are being sold often, a dumpy alien spacecraft, where they actually only man-made Nazi weapons. Like this one, 1939. None of us knew that they existed at that time. Spaceships man-made by Germans, 1930s. They don't differ much from the pictures that we have seen before. Also, when the first... Oh, I'm sorry. the first information about going to the moon was informed to us. 1969, 1962, still the Finnish encyclopedia was stating that there is no atmosphere. And we know that NASA has been stating the same in the beginning. Well, that's again one of those disinformations, because there is an atmosphere on the moon. We did not go to the moon the first time, 1969. We've been there a long, long time before. Clouds on the moon. You can't have clouds if there's no atmosphere. You have lakes and vegetation on the moon, on the other side. And now we have heard that maybe there is water, because there have been found some ice cubes on the moon. That's a lake on the other side of the moon. Why are we given this information day after day after day? The answer in my mind is very, very simple. It's a question of power and money. Because when the reality of UFOs, of alien civilizations on other planets in our solar system, I repeat, in our solar system, is officially believed in daily news, for instance, everything will change. And how does it change? NATO report, which was so secret that in 1961-63, when it was made, they made only 15 copies for the whole world. 15 copies in English, in German, and in French. And there they gave the four reasons why people are not ready in their minds to hear the truth. And number one, can you imagine when you know that it was a top secret report which needed cosmic security clearance, the highest in NATO, still I believe. The first reason was not the military reason, as we would presume. It was theology. All the religions' dogma will fall down. Not the idea of God and not spirituality, but the dogma. Man-made dogma will fall apart. Number two was human ego, because we believe that we are the top of the intelligence in the universe. And we are actually, if I'm very nice to say, Stone Age people in the solar system and in the universe. A military report says that we are like ants in the universe, and that's even worse. Anyway, third reason in the later report was our economy. We made gas, oil and electricity. They use free energy from the air. Cost nothing. And today Americans, for instance, have this technology, but to give it to the people who would get free energy, it would cause chaos. Electrical installations, oil cartels would all fall apart. And then there's the question of light, the speed of light, and our laws of physics. They have to be revised totally. And of course, no scientist wants that his theories are thrown out and said they're totally wrong. Those four reasons were in this NATO report, but there is a lot of other reasons too. It's not only that we have an attitude that we do not accept new things. Did you know that even Thomas Edison left plane in his day, that it was impossible to fly airplanes? Simon Newcomb, professor of mathematics and astronomy in Johns Hopkins University, proved scientifically the impossibility of flying about a year before Wright brothers, 1903, in Dayton, Ohio, flew their aeroplane for the first time. Why are we so reluctant to accept things that are new? Is it something that is in our nature? Or is it something that we are being taught in schools, in institutions, through religions, or what? Well, the fear of the new is not the only major factor that limits our abilities. Did you know that humans can hear
and see only less than 6% of the total light spectrum. We use less than 10% of brain capacity, and we retain less than 8% of what we read. We have information about less than 2% of the living species, which is estimated to be about 10 million species. Most inventions we make never see the light, and only about 7% reach the market. This gives you some kind of an idea about our cosmic picture, we can say. A book published in the U.S. by author President Nichols stated last year about his personal experience as a young electronics engineer while employed for a major defense contractor in New York City area. He was blindfolded taken in mid-70s to an Air Force base which he believed would be the Wright-Patterson Air Force Base in Dayton, Ohio, which today even is the most important of those Air Force bases concerning ufology, because all alien bodies, all human bodies that we retrieve from any UFO crashes in any country in the world are always sent to Dayton, Ohio, to this Air Force Base. He was taken to this base to see the so-called Concorde foreign aircraft. It turned out to be a UFO, about 16 meters in diameter. And however, when he was inside, it seemed that it expanded. In a way, you can say, he entered an artificial reality. There were hundreds of square meters inside. There were screens in front of the operators, they could mentally call out maps, you know, not coming out from there, right here, who could take star charts just by giving commands in their thoughts. Now we can hardly understand that, but we have to think that thought is energy, and energy of course can be directed to a signal, and the signal of course can then cause an instrument to act. Anyway, his total surprise was that these pilots, which were showing in the mid-70s extraterrestrial ET technology, if we can call it that way, were American pilots. So, like Ben Rich said, the former giant Lockheed head, it is a shame that these breakthroughs are being hidden from humanity. If we think now, today, what can we do to change this world, to change this attitude? So first of all, in my mind, we have to know the situation. And remember, 90% of UFO information is disinformation. And the disinformation is being spread now through a systematic system led from the United States by television, by movies, by conferences, and the whole thing, the theme is threats from the universe towards planet Earth. I took part in India Star Nations conference in the U.S. in South Dakota about a year ago, and there the man came to me and said that they are planning in the future, he didn't say the date, and I don't know if anyone yet knows it, they are planning to draw oxygen out of the air from the people from some city outside of the United States. I was right, because this, in my mind, is an excellent plan to get people hostile towards aliens. Because if oxygen is drawn out of the air, of course people will die. And then, this is my reasoning, man-made triangle UFOs are coming, and people will think that this is an attack. If you think this is just science fiction, I'm saying I wish it was, because this year, 1997, HARP, the project in Alaska, has started with full blast, and according to some sources, there are 360 antennas, and they can create electromagnetic pulses to the distance of 4,000 miles, and these pulses will destroy everything what comes, whether it's rockets or whatever. This part officially is a scientific project with Aurora Borealis, the Northern Lights, but actually it's absolutely a military project. And this project, with these electromagnetic pulses, can close off all the communications in every country of the world, in air, on earth, in sea, on sea. And they can keep their only channel free. Now, if this plan is going to succeed someday, in the near future, we are all going to think that an alien attack has happened, and we're all going to be very, very scared. They plan to do it also with lights. There are in small cities, small communities all around the world, just as well in Finland and elsewhere here, they're building lights with two intensities. And look around in the city, and you're going to be surprised. Huge lights were built which should not be there. Smaller lights would do exactly the same. And when the normal intensity is on, everything is okay. But when they put on the higher intensity, then that is electromagnetic waves that cause sickness, nausea, vomiting, bleeding, and cancer, the leukemia, etc. Now, I know this may scare some people, but my life is set to warn people. Just like Stephen Greer mentioned yesterday, I do think it is advisable that people know the possible horror scenario that an elite group is planning for us. So it wouldn't come as a total surprise, because then we cannot protect ourselves. If we know the threat coming from the elite military-industrial complex, and interestingly, there are quite a few people also from Norway who are within the front organizations that are planning these kinds of things. One of those front organizations is the Bilderberg Group in the US, where heads of states, moguls for press and mass media, bankers, oil companies, supply directors are meeting once a year and putting out the scenario for the next year, what is going to happen in the world, in a way where there's going to be war, where there's going to be peace, and where there's going to be different things that will change the world. It may sound totally untrue to you, but I would ask you to read books by Jay Dyke. I've met this man, and he is a BBC former reporter who has written quite a lot in his books about robot rebellion. Robots are us, normal human beings on this planet today, and we are not being threatened by outer space. We are being threatened by our own race. And how I was horrified to read just this morning an article that there's a bill waiting for the US Congress to be passed that every single child in the US who would be born should be microchipped. Do you know what that means? That is very, very scary. So this bill can be passed if President Clinton just signs it, because they're going to put it out as for security reasons. And as you know, national security is a shield which too much covers very, very many illegal things. And microchipping people has already started. This sounds, again, like untrue scientific statement, but that is absolutely true. 6,000 people already in Sweden are microchipped. I don't know the number in Norway. I know a lot of people are microchipped in the USA, and I do know that the project called in Norway with the Navy, Electronic Surveillance Project, is doing microchipping of people here. I narrowly escaped one situation where they tried to do that on me. And the microchip is just as small as a grain of rice, is put into behind your shoulders, and after that you can be directed and controlled with the computer, even from the satellite. This is again ET technology, which we have taken from the crashed UFOs, which we have gotten from ETs, and which we, because we have a whole world as a human race, we have started using it negatively towards our fellow men and towards the ETs. Instead of using all this technology for healing, we have decided to use it to destroy our race. And why so? Because some people say that there's too many people on this planet. We can't survive all. So the elite has started years and years ago, already in the 50s, to do plans. How are we going to survive? How are they going to survive? And one of the plans, they made three alternatives. One was shooting out holes into the space to help with the greenhouse effect. That is not very accurate right now. Even if HARP project is shooting 30 kilometers wide holes right into the space right now. Second was that they're going to build underground cities and tunnels. That has to be done all over the world, especially in the United States, where ET technology is used. Electromagnetic tubes go underneath and zigzag the whole United States. They have a lake there, they have vegetation, they have perfect cities. The same in Australia. There's a U.S. base in Australia, and a woman who has worked there told that the base is 13 kilometers down. 13 kilometers down, the whole city. Again, with lakes, the post offices, the whole culture is there. The third alternative for the elite was to get the bases in the moon and in the Mars. And they have today. Now, of course, officially, this all will be denied. This will be ridiculed because it is too hard information for the general public. I have seen a report where 1962, I think it was June 22, if I don't mistake myself, 1962 anyway, American astronauts were on Mars, and they were saying, we're on Mars, and there's air. And when you think of all these camouflage activities that we're sending probes to Mars and Moon, and in the Finnish major Helsingin Sanomat, our biggest newspaper in Scandinavia, it was stated only by an astronomer a year ago that there is nobody on the moon, and we have found ice on the moon, so maybe there's water. This is all disinformation. Just as well, it's disinformation that one says that, oh, why don't astronomers ever see UFOs? They do. They really do. In the States in 1976, there was a survey among American Astronomical Society, and 5% of astronomers said they had seen UFOs, but only a very few had ever reported them. Those scientists who go on television in this country and elsewhere who say, like Eric Gander has said, I've seen that TV myself, that in no country in the world there has been a UFO piece which has been inspected in a laboratory. I would say maybe he hasn't seen it, but even I have held a piece of a UFO in my hands, which we got from Russia for the Northern Scientific Center, which was putting a UFO exhibition a few years ago. And it was inspected, and had been inspected, and Russia, of course, was inspected by our military. And I have reports from China, from Russia, and the US of pieces of UFOs that have crashed, that have been inspected. And the interesting part was that the metal, usually, is just about the same, the content, the same as we have on planet Earth. But the way that metal has been woven together is something that is totally beyond the reach of our technical capacity today. So, when we think of the history again of space exploring,
So I think it was very interesting to see Vanessa report of an out-of-body experience of a Catholic nun whose name was Santa Catherine Emmerich. She lived in 1774 and died in 1824. And she had an out-of-body experience where she went into space and she viewed certain spheres of our solar system from a vantage point in the space beyond. And Earth was verified by numerous astronauts during orbital and moon flights by a matching of observations. This nun noticed that Earth is flattened at the pole and that the Earth's magnetic field or lines of force are vertical at the poles, and only we found this out in this century, 200 years after her. Also, she stated that the moon appeared like a ball of fire in her report. And according to Soviet astronauts in 1962, they observed the full moon, and they said it noted it not when they were in space, with several appendages, but rather a full ball of fire. So we do get information, technical information, through the paranormal means of the normal human being who start using the capabilities of telepathy, out-of-body, and other paranormal, which are actually very normal capabilities of human beings. If we think of the situation today, so I think the greatest blessing from space to us is the message of love and light. And the message of love and light is coming in in Finland very strongly because generally the contacts that people report are very positive. They come through dreams. They come through out-of-body experience. They come sometimes but very seldom physically. And why not so often physically? Because the UFOs, the real alien craft, do have an electromagnetic field around them, and that may, when humans or animals go close by, cause trouble, health trouble to us. Conducted by this inflammation of the eyes, we may lose hair. The same thing that microwaves do to us, microwaves that are deemed as some certain individuals in the UFO community and New Age communities who talk too much. Me included. Exactly again, EG technology is taken and misused. EGs don't want us to have any health problems. That's why they warn us, do not come close. Well, that's why they have us in a dream or in an out of body state, because then we cannot be hurt. But unfortunately, many of us do not remember our dreams. And when we do remember another reality, we often also interpret it only as a dream. I wrote a letter from a Finnish lady 30 years old recently who said I had an interesting dream. And I would say, I'm not sure this was a dream. I would think it was another alternative reality experience. She said, I experienced that I was flying with a spaceship which was shaped as an egg. I felt I was alone. I was 200 meters from the ground, and I was surprised that I could, with my thoughts, direct the station. And then she said that when I concentrated on something, I went to see something, the ship stopped, and I could just observe everything very clearly. And then when I just wanted to go further, it just started going further. And she said, I also saw a kind of a sheath, which looked silverish, kind of a TV screen, maybe, and I could see all kinds of happenings coming there. And I was like taken into it. And I was shown my future. I was shown the future of planet Earth, but I was also made to understand somehow that this will happen if we do not change the course. And for
For several days afterwards, I felt that I could use this energy and this knowledge that I had gotten for myself, for my personal growth. And that, I think, is a very, very important aspect in ufology. We have seen now enough evidence of the physical reality of UFOs, of spaceships, man-made mostly, but some are identified alien craft. But in ufology, there is a much, much more important aspect, and that is the parapsychological or the psychological aspect of UFOs. Because many people answer or ask, why don't I see it? Why have you seen it? Maybe it's difficult to answer, but in my mind, it is as clear as if some people are just watching TV in one station, and they do not have a Sky Channel antenna in their TV. If you do not have that antenna, you cannot see the Sky Channel program. But there's no hindrance for everybody to get that antenna. And then all it takes is you have to press the button yourself. Otherwise, even if the program is there on the TV, you do not take the effort and press the button, you're not going to see the program. And you may be stupid and say it doesn't exist. We don't see the TV waves here. We don't see the radio waves here. We know they exist, but it's up to us to do an effort to get them visible to this dimension. And that is, in my mind, the reason why everybody does not see UFOs, why everybody does not have ET contacts. Because we have to raise our vibrational level of ourselves. We vibrate. If you look into your human body with electron microscope, you're going to see that the cells vibrate like this. And we think that we're solid. We're not solid. We're almost 90% water. We're carbon-based entities. But we are vibrating. And when you raise the vibrational level of your cells, which can be done, for instance, through meditation, then you can stop having contacts. All of a sudden, you have that Sky Channel antenna, you see the program, and you start experiencing that you are in contact with UFOs, with humanoids, with so-called dead, their energy, of course, and other entities from other realms of intelligence and life in the universe. In 75 in Russia, Anatoly Malchev, he was an artist and a woodworker, was in the woods, and all of a sudden, a real alien craft, not Russian man-made, stopped by and invited him for a ride. And they left, and he went in 1975 on the other side of the moon, and it was lit all over. So he asked, what are those lights on the moon? He was told it is one of our bases there. There are also alien bases. Then they flew about 2 hours, which is a long time when you think of their speed today. And then they landed on a planet, and the door opened, and he got a shock of his life. He was bleeding on that planet by all his dead friends. All that had passed from this planet left this realm. They were there, vibrant and alive and happy to see. Now this information was given to me in a Moscow conference, UFO conference, and at that time it was Soviet Union, and it was very interesting that I was taken to a room in an institute, and that room was filled with doors like we have in banks. In banks, you know, this big iron doors, there were 3-4 of them. And they opened them one after another, and I thought, well, I wonder what I'm going to see. This is what I saw. I saw his story, the drawings, and I saw the map of the Soviet Union filled with small lights. And I said, what are those lights? And they were a bit, something. Well, they were saying they were UFO organizations or something, but I had another idea, because they didn't want to explain. I believe they possibly were UFO crash sites that were taking place on the map. Anyway, the idea that Anatoly Malchev had seen taken in a UFO, gone to another planet, seen his dead relatives or friends, was so secret that I would almost say state secret in Russia. That is one of those things that links ufology to death, to being a human being. Why are we here? What is the meaning of life? What comes after death? And when we think of our religions, what actually do they say? They try, in my mind, all over the world, in different forms, to give us information. Flying theory, the clouds descending, Ezekiel's first book, coming down. Entities coming out that look like humans, but not like humans. Entities that have arms and legs, but have a face over eagle, have a face of a lion. That kind of reports we get today when we ask what kind of beings live in outer space. We get reports, the lion face, the face of an eagle, or an ET like Spielberg, or people who look like us, like if they are, as they claim, the 500 light years from us, that we have had the same forefathers. Of course, millions of years ago. But we think of the crisis that this world and we as a human race are going to have when the real information one day is coming out. Not only it drops like in conferences like this or in movies or films. When somebody like the President of the United States for Americans, the King of Norway for Norwegians, the President of Finland for Finns, or the UN Secretary General, who is the only person who can represent planet Earth in my mind, comes out with an announcement that we are not alone in the universe. We are going to have an authority crisis. Because then, also, people are starting asking questions, and they're going to find out that man-made spaceships have existed decennia. And we have been lied to by authorities. However, props are bigger and bigger. And one of them, I think, is very interesting. In the United States, in 1993, Fire Officer's Guide to Disaster Control was published, and there they give the whole chapter what fire officers have to do if they encounter the UFO and aliens. And it's interesting that they have said that you have to stay apart, you know, don't attack, don't go until you see it's non-hostile. And they were reminded in the manual, remember the federal regulations that apply since 1969, that people, Americans, should not have contact with ETs or UFOs because they will get a fine of $5,000 or they can be taken to jail without a court case for 1 year. Of course, at that time, 69, when officially the astronauts went to the moon, they were taking a space bacteria deposit. But that regulation is still valid and that it is forbidden for Americans have contact with ETs. However, Bill Clinton, I was told, is reconsidering now to change this regulation, but it hasn't happened yet. So, I don't know what the situation is in Norway is, but I don't think your authorities officially forbid. But Norway is a NATO country, and that means Americans control Norway. As you know, Cosmos said, your defense minister, that this country has been mined by Americans, and there's nothing we can do. We can only negotiate. And Norway has signed that we should not have mines in the country. So I don't know, maybe it is a UFO organization of Norway that can find this out, but they spread a lot of disinformation also, so I would trust everything that comes out of that organization. Anyway, in Sweden, it's not forbidden to have contact with aliens because the Swedish, the UFO organization, Cilia Lindens, a UFO group, wrote to all authorities a few years ago and asked. And even defense ministry, and it is not forbidden to have any contact. It was interesting to find out that the customs authorities said that, you know, it's none of their business, meaning probably Asians don't have to pay customs or something. But can you think, the so-called Landbrugsstyrelsen, which is the Board of Agriculture, answered that in case an alien landing would happen, immediately call or take contact with the veterinary surgeon. It's every land. Now why? I think they knew what they were talking about. They knew that alien races looked like animals to us. And therefore, it was logical maybe to call a veterinary surgeon to see. And they did not think that the IQ of that alien would be 200-300 when the expected veterinary surgeon maybe had 120. But this is the attitude. And also then the security police, etc., answered that if such an incident should happen, and if you're in Sweden, call 90,000 as an emergency number, so put that in your head. So then they will see what they will do. Today in the world there are over 3,500 military and commercial aircraft pilot reports of encounters. Pilot reports, there are over 4,000 landings with resulting physical traces around the world. So anybody who is able to read, who is able to dig into literature, knows that we are not alone. But this is a military question for at least the NATO countries, very strictly so. It was interesting that I got hold of a Swedish report which was termed mycket confidentiellt, very confidential. And it was from 1977, 21st of February, when the Chief General, Överste de Valare, Synnergren, and his successor, General Jung, with some others, was having a meeting, and they were discussing UFOs, and there were a couple of people present whom I personally know, the UFO researchers, and they were putting out a UFO reporting database, and they were saying that 10% of UFO information is coming from civilians. And the interesting part of the report was that if anybody leaks this information out, that they are having a cooperation with some researchers, they will absolutely deny it. And they said also, another interesting point, that they know that UFO associations would like to have contacts with the military more than they do. But that is not the savvy. They don't do not wish that. However, the training program has been going on for years now, which partly has been paid by persons who are attending Silverberg meetings like Prince Hans Aram von Wittgenstein. Of course, he was ridiculed when this came out, because ridicule is number one paragraph of U.S. policy, how to put people down who are giving information about this field. I got a letter from an American officer who is very in this field, and he said, when I was telling about my harassment in Norway, sabotage and terrorism, which the military intelligence in my mind is doing to try to shut me up, so he said that maybe it will be easier for you if you understand U.S. policy in this respect. And the policy number one is okay, we ridicule. And if that doesn't help, the person doesn't stop talking that aliens exist and they are positive and they're good. So then we will take intimidation and close surveillance. Now I have 24-hour close surveillance, so somebody here is taking up what I'm saying. And then he said number three point, if this doesn't help, intimidation, you've been threatened, your phone is cut off, your fax doesn't work, and your parents are parents, etc., etc., then they take measures that they kidnap you, and they drug you, they hypnotize you, and they make you forget. I know one person, a friend of mine, they did this in this country. It wasn't through kidnapping. The person was naive and trusted and was, in my mind, almost a biological robot for 2 years after this and doesn't talk about UFOs ever anymore. So NATO countries are leaders in the attitudes towards ufology, towards aliens. And the word alien, in my mind, is a little bit misleading, because when I went to New York one day, I went to the through the passport control, and it says, U.S. citizens, and then it says, aliens. And I was through the law, they have already a line of aliens. I did not think that it was other aliens than space aliens. Of course, it wasn't, but if you look at it, it was kind of funny. Maybe there's some truth in that. Anyway, when we think of human beings, us staying right here now, so actually many of us don't think that you are like beings. You are like beings, and the light expands around you, and as we know, some clairvoyants can see us. We're very beautiful in colors. We are crystallized light, in a way. And we know that actually we belong to a very much greater reality than just ourselves in this little body of ours, in this little planet of ours. And our consciousness is the one, the energy, that will always stay with us in eternity. And our consciousness passes through all barriers, whether it's steel, whether it's Faraday's cage, there is no barriers in space either. And our consciousness actually is built from love vibrations. And I would like to, before finishing, read you the very beautiful channel information which Lily, a friend of mine who is present in this room, got a few years ago concerning us and UFOs. And the text she got says, many of you walk around with a secret longing, a tender voice in your inner ear that urges you to go ahead and investigate who you truly are. The mystery of creation is waiting to be mystified, unmystified. You know that the call has gone out. You agreed to participate in the most exciting event in Earth history. You've been leading up to be allowed to incarnate into Earth level, to witness, to share, to help participate in a new birth in which you will go from embryo state to cosmic child with all of the knowledge of all of your existence. You will go through initiation in a split of a second and burst out into the unlimited source of wisdom. You will then be awakened and attuned, be able to go with your body, not trespassing death, but with the solid form of flesh, transmuting only a tiny fragment of a solid form into crystallization, merging with the essence of superatoms, inherited intelligence. You will control galaxy. The great silence of cosmos will be broken, and we are you in another form, another manifestation. Maybe we're older, but in no way better. We have just come to see the inner form and work with that. You are cosmic man, descending into virgin soil, fertilizing God's crop. But as you descended, you forgot and became the crop. But now you have grown to ripeness, and you needed your summers and fall to accumulate your full strength and finest qualities to be able to liberate third dimension, you need to liberate yourself from its bondage. I think the text is very beautiful, and the core of that, of course, is that man is a multi-dimensional being. But part of our energy today is in our body. But other part is vibrating in another frequency, in another dimension, in another body of an alien. And so-called scientific evidence, and as you know, science changes every 5 years, totally nowadays, in fact, scientific evidence through hypnotic regressions, for instance, shows that people who have had contact with ETs, with alien life forms, with the so-called energies of the dead, they become that energy or part of that energy. So when you meet an alien, whether it's in the past, now, or in the future, in any other time, there's no time to stay, you actually meet a part of yourself. So when we fight against each other, we're fighting against ourselves in another form, in another frequency. So I would like to conclude by saying maybe in the future it would be good if we on planet Earth would not fight against the evil, but fight for the good, because the message from space is always love and light. Thank you.